astounding a cappella, cool country, and grooving gospel. Let's follow the journey of three singing siblings from Restroom Acoustics to Carnegie Hall.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Welcome to another edition of our show. We're here at part two with the Martins sitting around our table, continuing and picking up from last week where we left off. And of course, this group has so much talent, and I cannot get away without saying how big of a fan that I really am of the Martins. So let's pick up where we left off and continue now, talking about their history, their journey, and now their new project called New Day.
The sound, the harmony, the Martins. Let me tell you, songs like, of course, He Leadeth Me, Out of His Great Love, Don't Want to Miss a Thing. We're still talking 90s, aren't we?
Yes.
Yep.
For the most part.
Yep.
Yes.
Out of His Great Love, with that, and Now I Follow.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Way to go, man.
Grace. A Burden.
Timothy's Burden.
Timothy's Burden.
And Grace.
That's all on the first, couple of projects that we did.
Yeah. Those were great.
Thanks.
Those were great. And still, I have to say, radio still plays them as if they're a couple of years old. I mean, we still play them as if they're like, and so people were asking, if you could bring a group to town to do a concert, who would it be? And I say, you know what? If I had my choice, I would bring the Martins in. This was just a few months ago before you guys had really resurfaced immensely. I said, I don't know what they're doing right now. I hear some buzz. They're maybe getting back, on the road. But the Martins, because we're still playing them so heavy, they're a core artist, but yet they're not readily available for concerts. Yeah. I said, I think it would be wonders. And so I'm so happy that you're back out here. And I'll quit gushing in a moment. But
please don't.
Please don't. Let's talk about if I remember correctly, was it the Dream Big project that had some crossover success?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Good job.
It did.
And,
it's impressive.
Yeah. So, because I remember, a gospel kid in the youth group with all these contemporary folks. Let me kids, youth group, I succumbed to peer pressure in my teen years, and I went wayward. And I listened to contemporary folks. Okay? And I grew to love the Stephen Curtis Chapmans and the Michael W. Smiths and the Points of Grace. And the Martins were one of those groups that no matter if I wanted to go into my closet and listen to my old gospel CDs or if I wanted to proudly hang out with the kids and say, I'm listening to your kind of music too. I'm listening to the Martins. Yeah. The Martins were both sides of that coin because you guys were doing a lot of big stuff on contemporary radio.
Because we listened to Stephen Curtis Chapman and the Points of Grace. We did. We enjoyed that music, and it did begin to influence what was still our sound, but it influenced what we would recreate in a studio.
Yeah. And most people who go crossover have to deal with the original audience saying, hey, why are you abandoning us? And did you get
what?
That?
And I can't explain, because there were a lot of groups before us that tried to cross over. And most of them had very limited success, some of them very poor decision for them to try to do that for one reason or another. We did not say, we want to cross over to contemporary music. We created that sound and picked those songs and sang them in the studio, and after the fact said, I wonder if CCM Radio would play this.
Mm-hmm.
So we just tried it.
Yeah.
And made no apologies about who we were. It really didn't hurt our feelings one way or the other. We were just, again, I go back and I sound like I'm trying to be super spiritual, and I'm not. But God, it was God's doing. It had to be, because we were not smart enough or talented enough to figure that out.
Yeah.
We just did what felt right, what sounded right to us, what was working for us vocally and emotionally and spiritually, and let the chips fall where they may.
I believe that anything is possible if we understand who Jesus is. I believe there's nothing that can stop us if we learn to dream like Jesus did. Your ambition to what's commonly defined. God has a special heart for those who walk outside the line.
Track from a project that had some crossover success for the Martins. My guest today here on Daniel Britt and Friends.
Country folks from Arkansas doing gospel records in the gospel business. You know, there's a little bit of maybe some, hey, this is a little bit different than Arkansas, but you still feel comfortable because it's a bunch of, you know, Southern hospitality that's in the business.
Yes.
And then you kind of switch gears and maybe go into these other crossover areas, and then it gets a little bit different where you do have to explain. Did you ever have any interesting moments when you were doing maybe a contemporary type interview or meeting with a record or radio in that sense, and they were like, well, so why do you do it this way? Or you know, have you considered abandoning that ship and remarketing yourself as this way or something?
I think if anything, we maybe had there was a misconception that when we were introduced into more of a contemporary setting, they were like, so you're Southern gospel? What is that? You know, it was more, it was a preconceived that we were something that should not be played here, but why are we playing it? And if we are, since we are playing and our people are liking it, why are you Southern? And we just said, it's our heritage. It's our heritage, where we're from. We embrace it. We love it. And so I think that was the biggest obstacle to overcome from both sides.
Yeah, well, that and when we would walk in and we didn't have on overalls with no shoes and straw in our teeth, that surprised them.
Yeah, right.
Because they heard we were Southern.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's that old stigma that comes with not just Southern gospel music, but with any type of sect or race or religiosity
culture.
Is the worst of it. All the labels that you put on people. One thing to our advantage was that we were so young when those changes started happening. Mm. And so we didn't know there was anything wrong with being a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Had no idea.
Yeah.
We knew that we were having a good time and we were just happy to be there.
And there was response from people.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we're older, we've lived a long life. We think that a lot of that has to do with our sincerity, because we were singing the truth. We had something to say because God has something to say, and we believed what we sang because we were brought up to believe those things. But once we came off the road, and especially after coming back after being on the road, been through
different things in our life, there's a deeper conviction to what we sing. But I think even back then, mm-hmm. what drew people to us was our sincerity and the fact that that we weren't afraid to get in front of people and kind of expose our weaknesses even then, even though they weren't, you know, we were still just kids. Because I feel like even now that we're young, we're still kind of young.
Right.
And you wonder, what do I have to say to these, to a lot of people that we sing to that have been through so many things? But it goes around to, it's the truth. And whenever we open ourselves up to people, I just kind of, I think that draws them to us. And I think that had something to do with it.
And I don't think it's always a right and a wrong type of scenario we're talking about here. There is a sincere, I think both examples here can be sincere.
Yeah.
It's just you've got a naive sincerity
there
when you're young.
You
want to sing for Jesus wherever the doors are open.
Yeah. I like to sing.
And when you're older and you have lived life more and you've dealt with criticism and you think, I want to sing for Jesus and wherever the doors are open, but, you know, if I go in that door, then my support's going to pull away from me or there's going to be people who are going to nay if I go down that road. And
well, you tend to overthink things.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you really, and you kind of run scared a little bit because you've been burned in the past.
Absolutely.
And so, again, it's not necessarily a right or wrong type scenario. Yeah. We're not talking about sin. We're just talking about, you know, it's one of those things you're on. I once heard a preacher say, you know, when somebody gets saved, you got a new Christian, they're on fire for the Lord.
Yeah.
And they're out there and they want to tell everybody. It's kind of like you appreciate that in them, but it's like you almost want to lock them up for a couple of years. And you kind of say, but you can't say this. And you kind of, you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's like when you're younger, you're like, I'm going to sing. This is what I'm going to do.
That's right.
Now that we're older, it's like, I want to sing. I want to tell.
And I get to.
And I get to do this. I really get to travel with my family, with my sisters, and sing about God's love, sing about His truth with two wonderful singers. And it's awesome to get to do this.
The Martins. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. More of our conversation in just a moment.
Standing outside the door of love and mercy. Searching for someone who understands the pain you've been through. What the Father waits with open arms. He's calling out your name. Come on in, welcome home. You are loved and you belong here now. No matter where you've been, come on in. Come on in. You'll find a place of rest in the arms of Jesus. He's waited so long for your homecoming day. He knows the peace you need and the hurt you're feeling. He wants to hold you and to wipe your tears away. But the door's unlocked, the lights are on.
Right.
Martins here on Daniel Britt and Friends.
We're moving from the 90s, and we're moving into, and we mentioned Carnegie Halls, and we've covered the acoustic restroom audition.
Yes.
Now we've, and we also mentioned early in the program, in the show about Carnegie Hall. I would guess that's a highlight in any singer's life.
Sure.
You
oh, yeah.
know, and it's
Absolutely.
A huge kind of a landmark, I guess.
Yeah.
Just a few months, I think, after 9/11. So, and this, yeah. this, all this has been in the planning. Obviously, you're doing a Gaither filming. That doesn't
sure.
just happen overnight. So, I mean, you got to plan for all that. You got to reserve Carnegie Hall. Hello. I mean, you got to, there's a lot of prep that goes into this. 9/11 happens in the midst of all this. Obviously, if it wasn't before, it's now a focus of, like, patriotism there.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful
oh, sure.
symbol, and the videos were wonderful. You guys were there and blew the roof off. So talk about that a little bit, and then let's talk about the White House thing, where President Bush had basically a gospel music night of,
yeah.
of some contemporaries, some black, some Southern, a little bit of everything
Absolutely.
There. And I think representing Southern was the vocal band and you guys
yes.
primarily.
Yeah.
What an honor, right?
I'm telling
exactly.
you. Yeah, we were talking in the green room, or it was the plate room or the dish room, whatever you want to call it.
China.
It's the China room,
yeah.
pardon me. We were talking there, and David Phelps, we were all kind of sitting around, and that little sweet group, is it Jump 5?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where they're all under the age of
yeah.
7.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not. They're teenagers,
yeah.
but they're
well,
so
they were
young.
Like 9, 10. They were...
And we were... sitting there talking, and David said, which one of us is going to tell him it goes down from here?
Oh.
Because they were singing at the White House at that tender young age.
Yeah.
We were like, it gets no better than this.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yep.
I remember watching that, and I love people's reactions. So I love watching people who've never heard the Martins before or never heard gospel music, and they can hear some good stuff. And I'm like, I want to see, you know, because
yes.
obviously there's a lot of preconceived notions with,
sure.
with our style of music. We talked about some of that. So, yeah, I love watching the president, you know, like watching his reactions at some of that harmony that we were talking about before, some of that DNA Martin stuff. It was cool. He really seemed
I'm
to
I'm telling
enjoy
you, one
it.
Of our favorite moments, you might have been
no,
going to tell the same story. Michael W., of course, he's really close to that family. And so he was in the residence when we were all down in the China room. He was actually hobnobbing with the family. And he came down after we had finished singing, and we were having a catered meal, and we all got to meet the president. And Michael W., I'll never forget it because it was one of my favorite moments of all time. He walked up and he said, y'all, I was just up there in the residence. He said, and the president looked at me and said, where did those Martins come from? And I thought,
who are
wow,
they?
Who are they? Where'd they come from? I was like,
wow,
oh, he must
nice.
Have liked it.
And I remember we did a dress rehearsal that had to be timed exactly to the from start
yeah.
to finish.
Yeah.
And all these very big details, very detail-oriented event in the White House for the president. And we didn't get to meet the president till after.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
the first time we see the president is when we walk out on stage and supposed to sing a cappella in front of the president. That was very unnerving also, very unnerving.
Anybody that tells you they can do that without some butterflies
yeah.
have lied to
yeah.
you.
Yep.
So from the prestigious Carnegie Hall, now the Martins taking Southern gospel to new heights.
So high, you can't get over it.
talking to the Martins on this edition of Daniel, Britt, and Friends.
Great seg here, a cappella. Two questions to get this rolling. One is, like you just said about the president, I mean, I would assume that as a singer, pardon the bluntness here, but a cappella is almost, I mean, it's like you're naked. I mean, you're out there
right,
with no support.
Yeah.
There's nothing to cover any kind of a vocal blemish. There's nothing that is going to support
Nobody
you.
Nobody knows that more than we know.
If your voice is weak.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you use some of the tricks like Stax or something, I mean, some people may know what we're talking about, or background vocal type things. You know,
that
still
here.
Will not, even if you're using it, it still won't help much.
Yes.
So... that, and the second part of this question is, we talked about how you guys got into a cappella stuff was with like less than 24 hours notice. You got to basically do your audition
sure.
for Bill Gaither live in a taping. So he's hearing it as the tapes are rolling mm-hmm. as you're on, babe. And so from there, you have like developed an a cappella following and an a cappella. I mean, you're kind of known
yep.
for that in a lot
Absolutely.
Of circles. So.
Yeah.
Never in your wildest dreams you probably thought that. Did you cha-ching, said let's cash in on that? It worked once, let's try it again.
Well, I think when we say we never really performed much a cappella, we did. As kids, our dad, we was at a Pizza Hut, and he'd say, hey, my kids sing, you want to hear them sing? And so we had to sing a cappella then. But we would do something we normally played our instruments with.
Yeah. There's not a Shawnee's. In the South that
we haven't sung a song to the waitress in.
Wow.
Our dad would make us sing. And at the same time, you're talking about, you know, that was when we were first introduced to the national audience, was doing this a cappella arrangement of something we had never sung a cappella before, and it did become, then we did an a cappella hymns record because mm-hmm. of that. People wanted to hear the a cappella hymns. Mm-hmm. And then we have become known for doing a cappella hymns, and we love doing them. As far as I had the idea about the other part of the question. Y'all may want to say it, but we talked about earlier about listening to one another.
Mm-hmm.
When one of us is a little under voice
mm-hmm.
and has to take an extra breath,
mm-hmm.
we're trying to pay attention
mm-hmm.
because the a cappella stuff is very, like you said, very bare and naked there. You're very vulnerable to what the blemishes of your voice might have for a night.
And we try to take care of each other.
Right.
If somebody's sick and we know they can't hold the note out,
we're
going to stop at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So, but those are the types of things a cappella music you really have to think about more than you do the other. And we're taking a trip to Ecuador.
Mm-hmm.
And there won't be time for soundtracks. Or probably will not be pianos available. We're not going over there to sing. We're going for mm-hmm. other reasons. But I am excited that we have that gift. That's one of the times in my heart
That's
and
cool.
in my career that I could say, you know what? Anywhere we go, we can sing. We could sing a song at the drop of a hat because God gave us that ability and that gift to be able to just sing something off the cuff. It's kind of a cool thing.
Ultimate immobility.
I love it.
A cappella at Carnegie Hall. Boy, how nerve-wracking that must have been. Here it is, though. They pull it off with Redeemed. Now on Daniel, Britt, and Friends, The Martins.
Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me shall continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of Him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent, His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Forever I am.
beauty, the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guards every footstep and gives me a song in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever.
Live from Carnegie Hall there, wonderful harmonies, a cappella, the Martins. My guest today on Daniel Britt and Friends.
Okay, so let's touch on this. Judy is married to Jake Hess's son, am I right?
Yes, Jake Hess Jr.
In fact, there you go. And you've got Jake Hess III
yes,
too, right?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. So, I mean, now you've got this little aspect. Has that not muddy the water? It's certainly not a, it's certainly not a negative, but has it been a little bit of an interesting explanation process of, well, are you now going to become the Jake Hess singers? Are you going to reform the Statesmen? I mean, you've had some odd requests, you know, Imperials or something.
Yeah, maybe I'm wrong, but I think because I'm a girl,
yeah,
it hasn't been as much of a question. But when we came off the road, you know, yeah, that was one of the things that Jake and I actually did a few dates together. But he's not comfortable with being in front of people on the stage for the most part. And so he was too young to have a heart attack. Mm-hmm. And so I told him, I said, let's put this on the back burner. I'll sing and you can bring in my equipment. We can do that kind of thing. Because he's very talented. But
does he sound like his daddy?
He doesn't. Yeah. He doesn't
totally
sound anything like his dad. His brother sounds more mm-hmm. like his dad. Sings mm-hmm. more of that style. But he writes songs, is creative in that aspect. But he's just not real comfortable. Now, when our three older kids, when they got old enough, we started teaching them harmony. Mm-hmm. For fun, you know, because they can hear it. I knew they could hear it. And so we started working with them. And we've done a few things. He can get on stage as long as there's five of us up there. I think he's, you know, it's more of a team. He doesn't feel as exposed. And so we've done a few things together. We're still softballing and footballing. Mm-hmm. And so we haven't gotten real serious about it. But ever not doing this.
Right.
Right. And it's been a cool thing to be a part of that family. Yeah. You know, to be able to say that our sister married into the Hess family has just been a privilege.
Yeah.
And you know what? And him being known,
yeah,
he was appreciated by so many people on so many levels. And not just his musical talent, because he was extremely talented mm-hmm. and noted for that. But he was a great man. He was happy. He had a lot of trials in his mm-hmm. life that he chose to deal with a smile on his face and in front of people, giving them the hope that, look, it may not be fun, but you can push through it. And so, it's wonderful to be a part of that. But if nobody ever knew him, if nobody knew who that man was, him being my father-in-law, his sweet wife Joyce being my mother-in-law, I couldn't ask for a better second family. And his, my husband's sister Becky, my brother-in-law, Chris, they really are jewels of the earth. They're great people, and they're just loving.
What would Mr. Hess say? He would say it's about life. It's either going to stay.
It's going to get better.
It's going to get better. It's going to get worse, or it's going to stay about the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you can do about it.
And everything's nothing but fine.
That's right.
Well, it's not certainly a wonderful legacy, and the discounts at the gas pump shouldn't hurt either.
I wish,
a rich family legacy there, right?
I wish.
Yeah, well, how many times the jokes, right?
Yeah.
Okay. There was a break there was a period where you guys, I don't know the whole story, and we don't have to go into if it's good, bad, ugly. I'm not interested necessarily in that part of it. I just want to know, between the time that you guys took a break and the time you came back, you know, people are going to speculate. People are going to say what they're going to say.
Yeah.
What I'm interested in, no matter what happened, whether you went to Disney World for 3 years, I don't care. Did you learn? What have you learned about your relationship with God? About what, you know, you were seeing the truth early on.
Sure.
But sometimes our understanding of the truth is affected by what we're around, about our own culture and about what we've learned in life. Mm-hmm. It doesn't change the truth. I'm going to be very careful there. People might be hearing that. I'm trying to say it's one of those things that whatever's true for you is not true for you. I'm not into that. I'm just saying that you, when you live the truth and you flesh it out after 5 years, after 10 years, after 15 years, it starts to, I think maturity is probably the word I'm
grasping for. Well, sure. I think I can speak for us as a whole and say that I think we believed in Christ and God and the Holy Spirit and things relative to a Christian life for a long time because that's what we were taught. Mm-hmm. And I think that time away from the road, I know it taught me, and I can have to say I think it taught all of us that we believe it now because we believe it.
Yeah.
We believe it because now we know.
Yeah.
And I think for me personally too, it helped – that time away helped me appreciate these two a whole lot more. And I always did appreciate them and their talent, but it allowed me to appreciate them on a much more mature level, a mature level, a professional level, and just a family level like I had never experienced before. Just being away from them, absence truly does make the heart grow fonder.
Well, and Bill Gaither, actually, ironically, us being here at Family Fest doing this interview, he said something several years ago that has stayed with me, that he said, the older I get, the less I believe, but the more strongly I believe what I do believe.
It's nice.
And I have thought about that, especially during the 3 years in Disney World. and then finding that place back in a really good light. That has become part of my truth, is that I don't worry about the gray areas. It's the black and the white. And now I live in the gray a lot because of choices I make or choices I have made or because of complacency or laziness or, you know, whatever your vice might be. We live in the gray a lot. But when it comes to truth, I don't worry about the stuff that you can't explain or the things that we disagree on.
Yep.
The black and the white, that's truth to me.
That statement, it blows you away, and it really does, because it's like the more you live life, it's almost this, and it's the way God is, it's almost like the antimony thing. You got like two things that in our minds were so logical. If 2 plus 2 equals 4, then 2 plus 2 can't equal 3. But sometimes you can't put God in a box, and you can't even understand him. If you could understand him, you could control him, and then you'd be God, there'd be no need for him. So.
Right. Wow.
There's this whole thing going on that I'm still young. As I get older, I think it's so true. The more you believe the absolutely, let's say, maybe foundations of your faith,
absolutely.
And the less you think you have life figured here in this aspect or in this piece of theology, and then you live life and you see a situation where it's like, well, that kind of blows that theology out of the water there.
Exactly.
So it's like, okay, so maybe God's ways are higher than my ways.
Maybe that's true.
So that's what he said.
So you just say with the Jews instead of the Greeks, you just say oy vey and move on,
because
the Greek logical mind just will not make it flesh out all the time.
I've had to learn that you can't change the truth. No matter how much I want to make God change his mind about what is sin and what's not sin, or what is acceptable and what is not, what is couth and what is uncouth, or whatever, my plan versus his plan, you can't change his mind. Truth is unchangeable. It is. So get used to it and take your medicine. And if you want peace in your life and you want
surrender to it.
You have to surrender to that truth. I'm not saying I'm good at it because I'm awful at it.
Yeah.
But that's true to me.
Yeah.
That is truth to me. And they're safe. You know how they always say that children want to be disciplined?
Yeah.
That They don't want to spank their kids, or they don't want to discipline them harshly because they're afraid they'll break their spirit. But it is a known fact that children feel safe when there's strict discipline because they know where those boundaries
structure.
Are. Mm-hmm. And when I finally came to grips with that, I do feel safer. I know God loves me. I know that He cares so much that He has to give me, I hate to say rules because I'm so anti-legalism, but
but
a set of principles that He says, okay,
how the universe works.
Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Exactly. You're going to fall if you jump off of this building. You hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's called the narrow path.
Yeah.
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
And it is very hard to follow, and very few find it.
Yeah.
An old-time preacher in a small-town church bows his head to pray. Early morning echoes off the empty walls of that sacred place. Short hours, this room will be filled up with desperate souls, and he's begging God to tell him what they need to know. When a still small voice says, tell them that I love them, that I died to set them free. Tell them there's an answer for everything they need. Tell them there's forgiveness and hope and suffering. The truth never gets old, so say it again and again. Tell them that I love him. He thinks about Charlie, who just said goodbye to his bride of 50 years, and Nathan and Sadie still praying for a baby through empty arms and tears. This is where they're running to find a little peace inside their pain. And he's pleading with the Savior for the words to say when a still small voice says, tell them that I love them, that I died to set them free. Yeah. And tell them there's an answer. Small town church bows his head to pray.
The Martins, from their latest project that's just released, New Day. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. My conversation now continues with the Martins.
Back on the scene, we want new music. We love the old stuff. I mean, it's like I say, the batteries have not run dead on those old songs.
Wow, cool.
It's like the energizer of songs. And so, but there's always room for some new stuff. And so you guys have, as my understanding is, teamed up with the Rascal Flatts.
God.
Rascal Flatts organization, let me just say this. Okay, I once thought they were a country band. I don't really know which one is Rascal and which one is Flatts, because I used to think it was a man named Rascal Flatts.
That is funny.
Is it true or not?
This
shows you my ignorance.
No, it's a group of three guys, and that's just the name of their group.
One's Rascal, one's Cole, and one's Flatts.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. It's Rascal Flatts. It's like the vocal band.
They had a guy that they knew that played keyboard downtown in Nashville.
Yeah.
They were looking for a band name because they had record labels wanting to sign them. They were like, what do you call yourselves? I don't know. Somebody said, I used to have this band called Rascal Flatts, and they were like,
We'll take that.
Okay.
But Jay DeMarcus is one of those members.
And see, Jay has been a friend of gospel music for quite a while.
That's correct.
East to west, right?
That is correct. Good job.
And then I think...
Welcome to...
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
Welcome to the next level.
See, that was during my rebellious period. I love that. But, was it before or after that, did some work with Michael English?
He did, on the Michael English show, and he was his band leader and traveled with him for some time.
So look, the airplane's coming in for a landing. This Michael English deal coming back around here. Jay DeMarcus is with Rascal Flatts.
Correct.
Yes. What I'm saying about the Rascal Flatts group or organizations, I call them, is now it's like a production house, because I hear, well, Rascal Flatts is producing them. So I'm like, well, what does that mean? An artist is producing another artist? Isn't that competition? But they've put their ingenuity or their creativity to work there. And again, is it like a moldable type thing that you guys are putty in his hands? Or are you kind of saying, no, we're the Martins, but see what you can do with what we've already given, what we've already established ourselves
as? It's a little bit of both of that. I mean, because we were at a place, we knew we needed new music. It had been over 10 years since we'd been in the studio as a trio to do new music. And I don't know about them, but in the back of my head, I was like, do I have anything fresh and new?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do I have anything to bring? Mm-hmm. And so it was a relief for me to put my career, my gift in someone's hands that I knew was capable and that was...
seemed to have a vision also.
Because he was really excited to work with us. He had been a fan for a long time. And we also, him having that Michael English tie, they influenced each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the two or three records that Jay produced for Michael are some of the best stuff Michael ever did.
Yeah.
And so there's still that, it's still in the family, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
It's almost brought it full circle, not just for us, you know, Jay being with Michael and them having influence on each other and then Jay producing us, but it also has brought Jay back full circle back into Christian music, and which has been something he's hoped to do ever since Rascal Flatts kind of took off and became the mega group that it is.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
He did also create he took our music, what is the Martin sound, and you mentioned this before at another interview we were doing, that he modernized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, brought it to today.
Mm-hmm.
Today's sounds and music for and radio worthy type.
Oh yeah, because this album is not, it's not like where we left off 10 years
That's
ago.
Right.
It is actually the album that we would have created this year if we had created an album every year since.
I believe it's
just, this is what the Martins are today.
Well, from the bathroom audition to Carnegie Hall to the White House to 2011, you guys are still turning heads because Jonathan or somebody sent me a rough mix, this new project that's coming out, and I had it in my car. I listened to it two or three times straight through, and it was after some of this tornado, the U.S. went through this major tornado outbreak in the spring of 11, and during some of this, in fact, it was the day after one of the first of the outbreaks, and we were headed to one of the tornado areas, journalistic, to go cover it, and so a guy I was meeting on a Sunday, we were pulled out of church to head to this tornado ravaged area, and he was going to hop in my car. I had the Martins' new unfinished CD blaring, and so as he opened the door to get in, I kind of thought, oh, I probably should turn this down out of courtesy for him, like, you know, not just because it was so loud.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, what was that? He said, I could hear that thumping across the parking lot. I said, that's kind of cool. Yeah.
The Martins are thumping.
I said, that's the Martins. And it's a guy that's maybe not as familiar with your older son. I said, they're a great group. They really are. And so you're worthy of bragging when it comes to this music.
Wow.
The songs are really, really good. And the messages, I mean, I can tell you guys put thought into like actually what it's saying. And you can tell that comes with maturity too, I think.
Absolutely.
It's not just a feel good, not just a creative twist of this instrument or that arrangement or these vocal tricks, but I mean, it's all of that plus a really strong and creative message. I mean, I might want to say that. It's hard to find songwriting these days that, you know, hasn't, that's saying something a little bit new and different with a twist, because look at the wonderful, rich history we have in gospel music, and everything that's needed to be said has been said in one form or another. And so you've got to, So talk about the songs.
You know what? And I'm a songwriter. I don't write as much as I used to. I'm trying to get back into the swing of that. But I respect so much those people. The way you talk about the Martins and the way that people who love the Martins talk about us, that's how I talk about people who craft this music. Because we wouldn't have anything to sing if people weren't writing these words down. All the way back in history to those hymns of the church that we've been singing this week at Family Fest, those lyrics are incredible. And then the songs that we got on our record, the Bible says, you know, I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. But then everything that is under the sun is God-breathed. And when you put together the God-breathed and humanity that God inspires, and you start mixing those two things together, God is a creator, not an imitator. And the creator that lives in us, if we let him, we'll just keep making those things fresh and new, fresh and new.
New for today.
Yep, absolutely.
My little boy is 5. We're in Gatlinburg at the time of this taping. And today we went hiking, like a four-hour hike. It's pretty cool. But we were down just talking. And I brought back from my childhood, and I've put it on CD, an album that is a Dottie Rambo-inspired written type thing that kind of a musical, kids musical, that Doug Oldham, the late Doug Oldham, voiced as Mr. Jenkins. Some people may know what I'm talking about with Down by the Creek Bank.
Yes.
And there was a song on there that the lyrics, and I think Dottie must have, I think she wrote all the songs or most of them. So I assume this is to her credit, wrote that the world is like his coloring book. There's beauty everywhere you look. And as we're out there dropping the pebble in the water, watching the circles grow, I mean, it was fresh on his mind, these lyrics of timeless stuff like this. But it goes back to creativity.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, look at what all God's created, and then look at human, you know, God being a creator gave us that kind of gift, to create even further. It's a cool thing. And another kid story, tonight you guys did an a cappella tune. And you got to understand, they say Sesame Street has had to go through a totally kind of redesign because the kids' attention spans aren't what they used to be.
Right.
It's changed, I think, in education. You've got to even alter the way you teach these days just to make sure they get it. People are learning differently. So I think we're so into, like, whiz, bang, wow, pizzazz, technology is, you know, people, kids are growing up more with YouTube than they are with rabbit ears.
Yeah.
So you've got my kid who's 5, he's like full of energy, he's wanting to play with the boys backstage and try to keep him corralled. Well, we walk into the arena, you guys start doing a cappella song. And so I say, a cappella means no music. See, look at all the band members, they're putting their sticks down, they're not playing the piano. And I said, they're just going to sing. And I thought he would give it 3 seconds and he would be, okay, I'm tired of this.
Yeah.
He sat there and was like, no, I don't want to leave. And he watched you guys sing a cappella, whole thing. And and you know how much glitz and glam and light shows that go on here. And that, I thought, was pretty cool.
That's very cool.
That you go back to the basics there of message, but also just the pure talent you guys have.
That's very cool.
So there you go.
Here's another from the New Day Project, which is brand new for the Martins. Now on Daniel, Britt, and Fred.
Love's gonna drive this train all the way from Bangladesh to Bangalore, down from Montreal on the Santa Fe. Love's gonna drive this train. And no looking back.
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Although this wasn't from the Martins' own recording, it came from Stan Whitmire piano recording. This features the Martins and is still one of my favorite songs, especially focusing on the resurrection. My guest last week and again this week. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
The updated sound, but yet holding tight to what is the Martins. Absolutely. Is available. The project is called what?
New Day.
And it's available through you guys in stores everywhere, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
But let's get the website. That'd be a cool
Our website is martinsonline.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. We're doing a lot of that now. It's a lot of fun.
The 2011 version of the Martins, you're going to love it. In closing, this is a funny thing that happens pretty much at Christmas time. We're reminded when we listen to Martin's Christmas music that there is a song and Joyce sings the lead on it. And there's one part in there when she says, go tell everyone, go tell it on your car phone. And that right there baits the song.
I know.
Because who calls it a car phone anymore?
And you know, and live, I know. And live now, I always have to say, go tell it on your cell phone. Then I say MySpace, Facebook, Twitter. I just add them all.
Yeah. That's good. Dude.
So connect online at martinsonline.com. You guys are wonderful.
Thank you.
And again, early on, before I was really anything in radio, you guys were always so sweet and kind and your family, your mom and dad. I mean, I love meeting those guys.
Just awesome.
Your humility is cool.
Thank you. You do a great job.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.